morning, everybody. I had a little distraction this morning as I was trying to worship, and the folder was up here, and I was trying to remember whether I had put my sermon in it or not. So when you saw Robin hand that to me, that was why, and that's a whole new perspective sitting this close. I really look up to you now, Robin, when I'm that close. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. And we're going to have the scripture up on the wall, the Pew Bible page numbers. Gospel of John, chapter 15, starting in verse 1. This is the Word of God. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. Let's pray together. Father, we have come here this morning seeking you. Father, I pray now for your Spirit, Father, to guide us. Father, that your Spirit would teach us through your word, that your Spirit would do a mighty work in us, and your word would just penetrate our hearts, Father. I thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. I didn't announce kids leaving, but I don't see any. Jesus says, I think you could probably just turn that off. Jesus says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, if you abide in me, then my words abide in you. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Then in verse 11, he says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. If abiding in Christ is where joy is found, if abiding in Christ is where full joy resides, then that's where I want to be. And that's where I want all of you to be as well. But is this real? Can we have the joy of Christ in us? Can we have full joy? Jesus says, these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Is it possible? Is it true? Just listen to the following passages God gives us about abiding in Christ, being in Christ. The New Testament is saturated with this truth of being in Christ, abiding in Christ. This is just a small sampling. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6:11. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 19. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Romans 8, 1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, 38 through 39. This is one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, abiding in Christ is real for the children of God. Not only does God give us the promise of abiding in Christ and joy in Christ and the guidance to that reality, not only does he give us the promise and the guidance, God wills us to be there. God wills us to be there, and he empowers us to get there. It is real, brothers and sisters in Christ, because God tells us so. Abiding in the reality of Christ, God willing, that is what we're going to spend the next 10 summer Sundays pursuing after. And let me just say, it is my intention to do it in 10 sermons, but I can't promise that. It's up to God. And he usually slows me way down, and he even did in this message. But I will press hard to bring this in 10 messages before Pastor comes back. But it's truly out of my hands. So this is the first of the 10 messages on abiding in the reality of Christ. So the title is Abiding in the Reality of Christ, the Fear of God. As I began this study, the question became, where does one begin? And I said to myself, self, are you kidding me? 10 messages is all you're going to do on abiding in Christ? 10 weeks, all of Scripture, everything we know about from God is about abiding in the reality of Christ. So where does one begin? For me, if you know me, I always begin at the beginning. We need to start at the beginning. But having said that, let's do a pre-beginning thing here. There are a lot of words. There are a lot of wonderful, powerful words. And we're going to look at a few of those before we actually begin. These are words today that we'll see that will follow all the way through our study. They embody the reality of abiding in Christ. They are crucial, and they are woven in the kingdom of God. The ones for today are obviously abiding, and we're going to look at truth, grace, and faith. But let's start with abiding. And the simplest thing I can do is just start with a couple of definitions. The Greek word is meno. Strong's Hebrew and Greek dictionary says this. This is a primary verb, to stay in a given place, to stay in a state, in a relation, or expectancy. It can be translated abide, continue, dwell, endure, remain, be present, stand, and tarry. The Complete Word Dictionary, the New Testament, Definition 1C, which pertains to us, and I really think sums it up well. Pay attention to this. Of the relation in which one person or thing stands with another, chiefly in John's writings, thus to remain in or with someone. An example, to be and remain united with him, one with him in heart, mind, and soul. Get that now. To be and remain united with him, one with him in heart, mind, and soul. Of the relation in which one person stands with another. People, this is what we are talking about. We are talking about a relationship with God, experiencing the God of the universe, and to be and remain united with him in our mind, in our heart, in our will. Listen now, if we are to abide in Christ, if we are to remain united with him in mind and in heart and in will, then we need to know and we need to understand and we need to believe the reality and the truth of who we are in Christ and what we have in Christ and who we will be in Christ. And what we will have in Christ. If we are to abide in the reality of Christ, we need to know, understand, and believe what that reality is. And that is what our study is all about. Abiding in the reality of Christ and experiencing a relationship with our God. Which leads us to the first word, truth. Let me pause here for a moment. As we go through this study, I really want us to focus on relationship with God. Relationship, not religion. Experiencing God, not religious rituals. We should be in a relationship with God when we come together to worship. We should be in relationship when we are praying. We should be in relationship when we are loving one another. And indeed, we should be in relationship, God, when we are seeking to grow in his word. This is real. This is real. If you are missing it, come with fresh eyes to see, and come with ears to hear, and come with a soft heart to be shaped. And come expecting God to love on you. Come here expecting God to love on you. Okay, on to the truth. What is truth? We live in a society today that would argue that truth is relative. There is no such thing as absolute truth. That what you believe truth to be is different than what I believe truth to be is different from someone else believes truth to be. It is different for everybody. I am not a philosopher and I am no scholar. So my response to that is simply hogwash. No way, dare hey. No, there is absolutely false. Truth is real. Absolute truth exists absolutely. There are two realities we can live in. There is the deceptive reality, and then there is the truthful reality. And you can live in the deceptive reality, and you can be in that reality your entire life. If you live in that deceptive reality, your reality will become truth. It will be what is really real at the end of your deception. You will have no choice and will be deceived no longer, and you will suffer for all eternity in the truthful reality of God's judgment. I don't want to linger on the philosophy end of this too much, but beware. Beware. Deception, by its very nature, is deceiving. You think you know the truth, but you are deceived into thinking you know the truth. Let me put it another way. Those that are deceived don't know they're deceived. Deception. Deception scares me. Deception concerns me. It scares me because I don't want it to be me. I don't want to think that I know the truth and I'm living in deception and not even know it. God, have mercy on me to know the truth. And it concerns me. I don't want it to be you. And I certainly don't want it to be my family or my neighbors. I don't want it to be anybody. May God have mercy on all of us to know the truth and believe it. Let's look at Scripture and learn about truth. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 17. This is the prayer of God the Son to God the Father. John chapter 17, verses 17 through 19. This is the word of God. Jesus is praying. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. Sanctify them in truth. God's word is truth. Go back in the Gospel of John to chapter 14. We're going to look at verses 1 through 7. This is Jesus teaching his disciples. To me, this is one of the most ultimate truth verses that you can find in Scripture. John chapter 14, 1 through 6. This is the word of God. Let not your hearts be troubled. This is Jesus speaking. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way to God. Jesus is the truth of God. Jesus is the life of God. There is no other way to God except through Jesus. One more passage on truth. Turn back a little further in John to chapter 8, verses 31 through 32. This is a study on abiding in Christ. So let's take a quick look at abiding in the Word of Christ. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I've taken this a bit out of context, but the truth is still real. If you abide in my word, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Truth sets us free. Free to understand God. Free to believe God. Free to walk in the light. And free to love God. Truth sets us free. I don't want to complicate truth. There is only one truth. It is God. And there is only one source of truth. And that is Jesus Christ, the Word of Christ, and the Spirit of Christ. It is important to abide in the Word of Christ because that is what frees us from the world of darkness and deception and brings us into the light and the reality of Christ. Jesus is the word of truth from God. Everything in Scripture is about Christ. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. And this is as simple as I can state it. Anything and everything outside of the reality of Christ is deception. Everything and anything outside of the reality of Christ is deception. So how do we know what is true? Better yet, how do we come to know what is true? Find your way to Luke chapter 10. And listen to these as you make your way to Luke. How do we come to know truth when we have the condition we are in without Christ? Ephesians 2, 1 through 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Colossians 1, 12 through 14 tells us this, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. Without Christ, we are in a hopeless state, deceived, living in darkness. And let me just say, if this is you and you are without Christ, don't be hopeless. Turn to Christ and embrace what he did on the cross for you. Put your faith in him. But if this is our state, and it was all of our state at one time, if we are living in deception at one time in our life, and maybe still now, how do we come to know what is true? Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 17. Jesus had sent 72 people out to go into towns ahead of him, two by two into towns, and this is them coming back now after being out. The 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you." Watch this now. Verse 20. "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." In that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." Truth is hidden and revealed by God. It is by grace. It is by his gracious will that we come to know truth. Let's finish this passage. Verse 22. "All things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then turning to the disciples, he said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." It is by the mercy and grace of God that we come to know truth. This reality moves our hearts. We depend on him to reveal truth to us. We thank him and praise him and worship him for enlightening us to the truth. And we rest knowing that he is in control. We do our best to explain truth to people, but it is God that grows the seed. I want to look at one passage where accepting truth comes together with God's gracious will. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5. I want you to look through these truth glasses now. Look at this passage with truth glasses of God's gracious will in revealing truth. Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And we thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. We thank God constantly for this, that you accepted the word of God for what it is, the word of God. Do you see it now? This does not say, we thank you, Thessalonians, for receiving the word of God for what it really is. Thank you, Thessalonians. Constantly, we thank you, Thessalonians. No. They are constantly, constantly thanking God for pouring his gracious will into the believers at Thessalonica, that they may see the word of God for what it is, the word of God. We cannot have truth. We cannot know truth. And indeed, we cannot believe and live truth outside of the grace of God. That is why Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and thanked God the Father for revealing the truth to them. Okay, we've defined abiding, we've looked at truth, and we've looked at grace. Now we can start. Psalm 111:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Well, if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of knowledge, then this is where I want to start. Turn to the scripture reading that we did this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 13. The fear of the Lord, the fear of God. What does this mean and how does this affect us? God is very serious about his commandment to love him. In fact, I would say God is deadly serious about his command to love him. Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 through 10. This is God's word. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder that he tells you comes to pass, and if he says, "Let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them," you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. And you shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has taught rebellion against the Lord your God. Verse 6. If your brother or son of your mother or your son or your daughter or the wife you embrace or your friend who is your own soul entices you secretly, saying, "Let us go and serve other gods," which neither you nor your fathers have known. Verse 9. But you shall kill him. Your hand shall be first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people. You shall stone him to death with stones, because he has sought to draw you away from the Lord your God. God is righteous. God is holy. And God is just. We are to love him completely and perfectly. And when we don't, we sin against him. God is very serious about his command to love him. Why? Why is God so serious about his commandments? Why does he want us to fear him? He wants us to fear the consequences of our disobedience to him, because who and what we fear controls us. God desires us to experience his goodness. And his command to love him is where goodness is found. Now let me give your head a spin a little bit and think about this. This is old covenant law. In order for them to experience the blessings and the goodness of God, they had to keep the law. They had to follow the letter of the law. We are in the new covenant. The reality we have in Christ is that all the fullness and goodness of God is in Christ. That's jumping ahead, brothers and sisters. But wrap your mind around this amazing truth and reality. They had the letter of the law to follow. We have Christ. Okay, here we are. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. I'm going to state this as simply as I can, and then we're going to dig just a little deeper in the passages so you can see it from God's word where it was drawn out of. How is the fear of the Lord the beginning of knowledge and wisdom? Fear of the Lord starts us walking the path of righteousness, which leads to experiencing his goodness and an understanding of his character, including righteousness, justice, and equity. Let me read that again. Fearing the Lord starts us walking down the path of righteousness, which when we're on that path, we start experiencing his goodness, and that leads to an understanding of God's character. Let me put it another way. I want to fear the Lord. I want to fear the Lord because I now understand it is goodness to do it. It is goodness to follow and obey. Let's look at the passage I'm drawing this from. Turn to Proverbs 2. We're going to start in verse 1. This is from a father to a son, but this is a principle and truth that holds together. Proverbs 2. This is the word of God, starting in verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commands with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures. Okay, so if we do these things, verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And then as we are walking in righteousness, notice the goodness we experience with God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the ways of the saints. Watch now for the character of God. These are words with meanings, but they are also God's character. Verse 9, then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity in every good path. Look back at verse 5. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Fear of the Lord and knowledge of God, you cannot separate the two. You cannot have the fear of the Lord without the knowledge of God. Turn back. Turn to the book of Hebrews. I know I have you all over the place. Bear with me. I want to introduce faith here to bring this together a bit. We're going to look at just one verse in Hebrews 11, but I want to see it for yourselves. Hebrews 11, verse 6. This is the word of God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. We will come back to this verse later in the summer study. But for now, I want you to see this first truth. We must believe. We must have faith that God exists. If we want to draw near to him, we need to believe that God exists. This is tied directly to the fear of the Lord. This is no small matter. This is where it all begins. If we are to start our study on abiding in Christ, if we want to draw near to God, then we must believe he exists. We must believe in God. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Not only do we need to believe in God, we need to believe God is God. And that'll shake out in here for us. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Starting in verse 12. This is the word of God. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord, which I am commanding you today for your good. Behold, to the Lord your God belong heaven and the heaven of heavens, the earth and all that is in it. Yet the Lord set his heart and love on your fathers and chose their offspring after them, you above all peoples, as you are this day. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stubborn. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and awesome God who is not partial and takes no bribe. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. God, that is God, is owner of the heaven, of the heaven of heavens. God, that is God, owns the earth and everything in it. The God of gods, the Lord of lords, the great and almighty God speaks to us and tells us that he requires us to love him completely. Because he loves us. Because he wants us to experience all that he has for us in Christ. God is God. Let's pursue loving him completely this summer. Before we close, I want you to consider a couple things. Robin mentioned this a little earlier, part of this. There's opportunities to pursue hard after this. Linger in this message during the week, especially as they start building on each other. Go online and listen again. And then Wednesday night at 6:30, we're pressing application on this. We're talking about this and encouraging each other to do this. And we're trying to do that on Sunday mornings at 9:30 as well. So consider those things. I've thrown a lot out there today and have been scattered around. The flow promises to get better as we focus on passages rather than jump around. Well, I guess I can't promise that, but remember these things as we press on this study. Truth is truth. We need to pursue truth because God is truth. Grace. The only way we are able to know the truth, the only way we are able to know Christ, is by the grace of God. Faith. We barely looked at faith. But this entire journey is a journey of faith. We need to believe. We were in the Old Testament a lot today, and we looked at a lot of laws and consequences. And the reality of breaking God's law is that it is sin. But please don't be discouraged. If you are a believer, we have Christ. When I said God's command is deadly serious, Christ is the one that died for our sins. So leave encouraged, we have Christ. If you aren't a believer, and don't leave here hopeless, please. Listen to the words of God. He wants you to be his child. He put the sin that you have on Christ and nailed it to the cross. That is the good news of Jesus. He lived perfectly and died for you. Embrace what Christ did on the cross. Put your faith in him and him alone and become a child of God. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for your word. I thank you for my brothers and sisters that are here, Father. And I pray your Holy Spirit moves in our hearts with your message. Moves in our heart with your word, Father. May your word transform us. May your word move us to loving you more and loving each other. I thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.